Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Clearing the Crease podcast. This is your host, Dennis Cox. Thank you so much for downloading this week's episode. If you haven't done so already, go back and listen to last week's episode. It was our inaugural episode of Clearing the Crease, and you'll get a good feel of what this podcast is going to be all about. Again, going to get into some mainstream topics, but not always the stuff you're going to hear all the time on all your major sports news outlets. But this week's show, we have a lot of things that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Marcus Lattimore, talk about Nick Backstrom and his case with the World Anti-Doping Agency. And we're also going to follow up more on the UNC academic scandal that we talked about last week. But before we get into those topics, I want to make sure that you guys find us online at all these different locations that you can communicate with us at Clearing the Crease. You can go on Facebook and like our page, Clearing the Crease Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @CTCPodcast. Also, find us on the web, clearingthecrease.podomatic.com. Again, clearingthecrease.podomatic.com. On our webpage, you can listen to our episodes. You can also subscribe to our podcast through Google Play and through iTunes, so you can take us anywhere you go. And also, the podcast will automatically download for you every time we post a new show. So again, find us on all those outlets. Communicate with us here on the Clearing the Crease podcast. Let me know your thoughts and opinions on the topics we discuss. And also, let me know if there's anything you want to hear further on this show. All right, let's drop the puck. Okay, our first topic here on Dropping the Puck is about Marcus Lattimore, who is an NFL player who was forced to retire at the age of 23. Now, Lattimore was unable to play in any games during his career because of two major knee injuries that he had suffered during his time at the University of South Carolina. He was a fourth-round draft pick by the San Francisco 49ers in 2013. Because of those knee injuries, he would have been a first-round pick. It was a no-brainer that he would have been a top pick. But unfortunately, because of those injuries, he fell to the fourth round, and it was estimated that he lost monetarily $5 million because of his draft stock having to go down because of his injuries. Now, a lot of people were skeptical that he would be even drafted at all because there was fear that he would never be able to play a game, and unfortunately, he wasn't. Now, he was able to recoup about $1.7 million in a tax-free insurance policy that he invested in before he was drafted, or I guess while he was at school, in case he wasn't able to play in the NFL and earn the money that he would have. Now, we're seeing that with a lot of athletes now in college, that, or at least with football, that they're investing in these insurance policies in case something catastrophic or major happens where they can't have the professional career that would have been projected or possibly could have had. So again, $1.7 million is a good amount of money. It's a large amount of money. Now, Lattimore had to invest roughly $10,000 to $15,000 into this insurance policy, but nevertheless, it's nowhere near what he would have made. Again, he lost about $5 million just because of where his draft positioning was. That doesn't take into account any endorsements that he could have had, the second contract that he could have earned during his time in the NFL after his initial four-year rookie contract would have expired, or any of these other incentives that he could have possibly earned during his time as an athlete. So I feel really bad for the young man. Again, 23 years old, you work hard to live a dream, and unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. I hope everything the best for Marcus Lattimore, and I hope he has a bright future in whatever he may do. Now, our second topic here on Clearing the Crease is actually going to involve the NHL, or it's actually going to involve the World Anti-Doping Agency and the NHL in the form of Nicklas Backstrom, who is a center for the Washington Capitals. Now, back in February, Nick Backstrom competed for his home country of Sweden in the Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. During that time, or just before the gold medal game, he tested positive for a banned substance known as pseudoephedrine. Now, that drug, pseudoephedrine, is a banned substance that is actually found in Backstrom's allergy medication known as Zyrtec D. The reason Backstrom takes this medication is because he suffers from migraines. He's actually had to miss a few games during his NHL career because of these migraines. I know Percy Harvin of the New York Jets has suffered from migraines in the past, but he tested positive for this banned substance. Now, the substance is not banned by the National Hockey League, but it is banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency, and they're the ones who govern the international, who govern the Olympics, both summer and winter. Now, there was a ruling in March by the International Olympic Committee to give Backstrom the silver medal that was earned by Team Sweden. Sweden lost to Canada in the gold medal game. But because of Backstrom being banned, he wasn't able to receive his medal when the rest of the team did. So he worked hard to help get his team to the gold medal game, and he's one of their top players. Okay, he's not just a guy that sits on the end of the bench. He is one of their top players. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to receive his silver medal. But the IOC Disciplinary Commission ruled in favor of Backstrom because it was a prescribed medication. Now, to make things clear, the team doctors for Sweden and the trainers told Backstrom that he would be able to take his medication. They advised him, yes, go ahead, take your medication. You will be fine. The IOC had a statement in their ruling stating, the IOC Disciplinary Commission took into account in particular that the athlete had been cooperative, had disclosed the medication in question in the doping control form, and have relied on the specific advice from his team doctor that the intake of the medication would not give rise to an adverse analytical finding. The IOC Disciplinary Commission continued to write, there was no indication of any intent of the athlete to improve his performance by taking a prohibited substance. Based upon these mitigating circumstances, the IOC Disciplinary Commission considered that the athlete should be entitled to receive the silver medal and diploma awarded for men's hockey. Now, what the World Anti-Doping Agency is now trying to do is that they're now trying to take away the silver medal that Backstrom was actually finally given. So not only did the World Anti-Doping Agency say to Backstrom, no, you cannot compete in the gold medal game, but now we're actually going to take away the silver medal that the IOC decided to give you. Or at least they're trying to appeal the decision to take it away. I don't get what WADA's intentions are with this decision to appeal the IOC's ruling from all the way back in March. This is something that they just set into place just recently, or just a couple of weeks ago, but I don't see the purpose, okay? The appeal by WADA was sent to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, and Ben Nichols, who's the senior manager of media relations and communications, wrote, the decision to exonerate the athlete was recently appealed by WADA to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Continue on to say, as with all pending cases and adhering to the proper and normal respect for the integrity of the legal process, WADA will refrain from commenting on the subject until the appeal has been completed and a decision rendered by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Again, I don't know what their purpose for this is, but I hope they figure it out soon. Why are you going to take this away from him? I just don't get it. Let Backstrom keep the silver medal. He earned it. He deserved it. He didn't cheat. He didn't cheat the game. He didn't cheat the Olympics. Let him keep the medal. Holiday seasons are coming up, and I know all you lacrosse fans out there want some new swag. So go check out reflexlacrosse.com. Again, reflexlacrosse.com. Go check it out if you want some cool new swag for upcoming holiday season to give any of your friends and family. Any lacrosse fans that you may have, family members, whoever it may be, check out reflexlacrosse.com. Now, our main topic for this week's edition of Clearing the Crease podcast is actually a continuation of something I discussed last week, and that is the UNC academic scandal. Now, as a result of this, a former UNC football player has filed a lawsuit against the university. That former player is Michael McAdoo, who played from 2008 through 2010. Now, in 2010, he was ruled permanently ineligible for academic violations connected to a tutor providing improper assistance on a research paper for a class in the formerly named African and Afro-American Studies Department. Now, that was the department which has been the basis of this entire academic scandal that took place for the better part of two decades, actually 18 years to be specific. Now, McAdoo's lawsuit says that he was guaranteed a good education while being recruited by the football coaches. But ultimately, he was guided to consider only one of three options, and one of those options was the African American Studies curriculum. Again, that's the curriculum that formed this long-term academic scandal. Now, what McAdoo is also saying that, or has said, that UNC coaches and other representatives enticed these football, quote, enticed these football student athletes to sign the agreements with promises of legitimate UNC education. Instead, UNC systematically funneled its football student athletes into a, quote, shadow curriculum of bogus courses which never met and which were designed for the sole purpose of providing enrollees high grades. That's what the lawsuit states from McAdoo. Now, again, this scandal has involved 3,100 athletes and everyday students, again, that took these no-show classes in the formerly named African and Afro-American Studies Department that ended in 2011. Now, there's a report that just came out. It was 131 pages long that was conducted by former U.S. Justice Department official Kenneth Weinstein. And he ruled that these classes resulted in artificially high grades with faculty and administrators helping these students take these classes. Now, there's also been coming out recently that apparently some of these former student athletes or football players and basketball players were advised to do poorly on placement tests. Therefore, they could have tutors and note takers to help them out at their classes because they can claim learning disability. I think this is just absolute. I said it last week. This is just absolute fraud at the highest degree. If I'm a former student athlete who didn't take any of these special benefits or extra benefits at North Carolina, I would just be appalled and sick right now, just because now your reputation as a former student athlete from North Carolina is now tainted because of this. It's a shame that they had to go through this. If I'm a former student athlete, I'd be sick right now. I'm curious to see how this lawsuit pans out, but I don't think that he will win, but it really does shed light on what some of these former student athletes are thinking. Thank you for tuning into this week's show. Make sure, again, you subscribe to our podcast on podomatic.com. Also, find us on Twitter at CTC Podcast. Also, find us on Facebook, Clearing the Crease Podcast. Like our page. Subscribe to all of our future episodes, and I look forward to hearing from each and every one of you online. Thank you for tuning into this week's show. I look forward to speaking with you all next week.